The views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Welcome back to the big broadcast. Well, this is hour three on Wednesday. That means it's time for Consider This Live, which is heard each and every Wednesday with our good friend Rob Washburn, professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College. And joining us this afternoon on the line, and thanks for calling in, by the way, is Mark Startup, who is with the Retail Council of Canada. We're going to be talking about retail, the current climate. We're going to talk about the fact that it's the season. And in honor of the season, and I mean holiday shopping season, here is Bing Crosby and his classic Adios Fidelis right here. We'll be back with Mark Startup right after this.
Adeste fideles, laeti triumphantes, venite, venite in Bethlehem. Natum videte Regem Angelorum, venite adoremus, venite adoremus, venite adoremus. Joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore.
Crosby from 1942 right here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. And yes, to the curmudgeons out there that aren't in the Christmas spirit, too bad. Welcome to the broadcast, Mark.
Well, good evening. Thank you very much.
We are very happy to have you here. Now, I've introduced you as a representative of the Retail Council of Canada, but you're more than that, aren't you, Mark?
Well, I've been in and about the retail industry for about 35 years, all across the country, and it's a fantastic industry. It's an important industry, and I'm pleased to be sharing this time with you.
Well, we are very, very happy to have you here. And, of course, Rob Washburn is here. He is my co-pilot on our weekly broadcast. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Thanks for having me. And, Mark, well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate having your expertise this evening. I'd like to start off with asking you, first of all, I know that Christmas time is a huge time of year for retailers. Can you put that in context for us across the country?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think most consumers understand the importance of the holiday shopping season, which has been shifting a little bit in the past few years as a result of the fact that Canadians have appeared or quite certainly have adopted Black Friday as something that's important in Canada. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the amount of sales that take place, or should I say shopping or spending that takes place, in the months of December and January, it is certainly a key part of the year for many retailers in our industry.
What percentage of business do most retailers anticipate as they're budgeting over the calendar year comes at Christmas time?
Well, you know, if you there's two ways to look at it. If you take a look at how much consumers spend every month of the year throughout the year, it doesn't really change all that much from say January to February, and then if you compare it across the summer months and so on. But what happens is in certain categories during the holiday season, their profitability for the year is realized directly as a result of the increased spending that occurs within those categories. Uh-huh. So that's how you can sort of describe the importance of the season.
Well, I've spoken to a few retailers. I told a couple that we were going to have you on the show, actually. And the one thing that they've said to me is their goal as retailers is to have the almost 100%, if not 100%, of their annual overhead covered, usually before Halloween. And that way, whatever profits they reap between Halloween and the end of the fiscal year is money that goes directly into their pocket as profits. That's why they really count on Christmas as that big season. If they don't have the big Christmas, then in a lot of cases, they don't end up having a profitable year.
Well said.
So that's really interesting. So maybe could we step back for a moment from the Christmas theme and talk a bit about the state of retail in Canada right now. Could you give us a broad picture of what's going on in retail in broad strokes?
Well, if we look at it in terms of the rate of growth of spending, without getting into the trends or what's occurring perhaps in different segments or whatever. Across Canada, we're having a relatively modest growth year. So for example, for the past 12 months, if you take a look at total retail spending, which would include Christmas of last year through to the end of September of this year, Canadians have spent 3% more over that 12-month period. That's on average across the country. Ontario is hitting above the average at 4.8% increase. And, of course, when I say of course, it surprises some people to see that British Columbia is leading the way with increases of over 6%. And otherwise, as we come into the holiday shopping season, we have modest growth behind us for the last 12 months.
Now, could you maybe put that in context, though? So 3% as compared to what in the past?
Well, that would just be simply taking over this 12-month period compared to the previous 12-month period. Yeah. Canadians spent 3% more.
No, I understand that, but I guess I'm saying, is 3% unusually high? Is it the same? You say it's modest. I mean, how about, say, the last 5 years? I mean, what was the period before or maybe 5 years ago?
Well, I think actually the benchmark year I would use is 2008.
Okay.
When we began the process of a significant decrease in retail spending across the country, and we have been slowly improving mm-hmm. and growing our economy since then. So in the pre-2008 period, if a merchant achieved a growth rate of, say, 5 to 10%, mm-hmm. They may plan and achieve a growth of 5 to 10%. In these days, at the individual retail level, if a retailer tells me today that they've received 1, 2, or even 3% growth, mm-hmm. they're quite happy with that.
Wow. Wow.
But generally, our economy is growing slowly.
Uh-huh.
Retail spending has been growing modestly for the past several years,
mm-hmm.
with some exceptions where we see above average growth in one or two provinces.
Is there one reason why the growth seems to be isolated to one province over another? I mean, is it just the fact that we've had a financial downturn, or does age demographic have anything to do with that?
I think, the economies of our provinces are the foundation of the economies of our provinces are different enough that you'll see variations. So, for example, there's a far greater foundation in manufacturing and, mm-hmm. and the export of manufactured goods from Ontario. In British Columbia, while we do export, we still export a lot of raw materials. We also have a very, very robust tourism sector.
Mm-hmm.
And in
mm-hmm.
fact, it was last summer, it was reported that in British Columbia, the total sales generated through tourism exceeded the previous highest year, which was 2007.
Now, do you ever break these numbers down in terms of rural versus urban or that kind of contrast?
Well, what the closest we can come at the aggregate level, thanks to StatsCan,
mm-hmm.
Is recently based on some lobbying from industry. StatsCan will break out total retail sales for Ontario at the aggregate level
mm-hmm.
and Toronto at a regional level.
Uh-huh.
So you can get a comparison at least between Ontario in aggregate
uh-huh.
and its major populated city. We're doing the same in Quebec with Montreal,
yep.
and we're doing the same in British Columbia for Vancouver.
And what are you finding?
So when you take a look at those numbers, it is rather interesting to see that for that 12-month period that I referred to earlier, Ontario-wide increase was 4.7%, and the increase for Toronto was 0.02% higher, 0.2% higher at 4.9%.
Okay.
So you see a similarity, but I think, I take that statistic with a grain of salt.
Okay.
In that, in Ontario, there are several major cities,
mm-hmm.
Whereas in British Columbia, for example, you really have one major city that represents about 35 or 40%.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to talk at all about rural retailers and what sort of things are going on for areas that are rural? I mean, that's one of the reasons we're so glad to have you talking to us is that we're located here in Cobourg, which is about an hour east of Toronto on Lake Ontario, and we're a small town. We're close to Oshawa, which is a major urban center, and Peterborough and Belleville, but we have our set of retailers that for our small towns and villages. What can you tell us about retail in those kinds of places?
Well, yeah, and over the years, I have been in many what you would characterize from a population point of view as rural communities or
mm-hmm.
or towns or smaller cities,
mm-hmm.
where the challenges faced by local retailers are the same from one community to the other. And it's best described when the question is asked, the merchants in our community are concerned that consumers are driving half an hour, 2 hours to another location to purchase goods mm-hmm. for a whole bunch of different reasons. I've been asked that question for 30 years plus.
Wow.
In growing economies and shrinking economies, and for the most part growing economies, because that's what's been happening in Canada for the past 30 years. So it is a challenge. It's part of our economy, and it's even more challenging for retailers today as a result of what I think we're also going to talk about in this call, and that is technology and online and e-commerce and all those other things.
Well, and that's a good point for our break. So we're going to take a quick break here, listeners. When we come back, more of our conversation with Mark Startup of the Retail Council of Canada. We're talking about retail. It's that time of the year when we Canadians spend more money shopping. Retailers generally will profit or not profit based on what happens during this season. We're going to talk about that. And when we come right back, more with Mark Startup. You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat.
Tune in to Modern Jazz Today, a weekly radio show that focuses on today's jazz improvisers and creators, cutting their teeth and cutting the edge of sound. Join us as we explore what's new, what's groundbreaking, and where it's happening. Sunday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Come out and enjoy a fabulous movie-going experience at the Rainbow Cinemas.
Playing November 25th to December 1st, Moana, rated PG, no free passes accepted, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, rated PG, and Allied, rated 14A.
The Rainbow Cinemas are located in the Northumberland Mall, 1111 Elgin Street West. Give them a call, 905-372-2444, or visit rainbowcinemas.ca.
The music you like is the music we play. Listen to Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Welcome back to the big broadcast. And of course, now, just before the break, we asked you about, the disparity, if you will, between rural retail and what is urban retail. And the question popped into my head, Mark, was how much do you think the loss of retail in smaller communities has to do with commuting? People in our area, for instance, we have people who live in Cobourg and Port Hope, West Northumberland, but they live and work in Toronto or Pickering or Peterborough, or they go east to Kingston and Belleville, because again, we're right in the middle, about an hour and a half in each direction. How much of that lost sale number is really related to the fact that people are just doing their shopping while they're at work?
Well, yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. And if merchants, whether they be at the work end of the commute for a commuter or at the home end, mm-hmm. Understand that consumers, today's consumer, is a time-starved person. Mm-hmm. And anything that the retailer can do at either end of the commute to make it easier and faster and more convenient for the consumer is what the retailer wants to do.
Right.
So speaking of that, then, that makes a nice transition then to start talking about the impact of technology in retail. And I'm wondering, let's start big picture before we get into the specifics around online. Can you talk about some of the things that are happening in terms of trends in retail around technology? Because when I was preparing for this, I mean, it just blows my mind some of the incredibly innovative things that are going on.
Yeah, I mean, where do we begin? Yeah. I usually tend to start with the numbers, and then we look into some of the interesting examples along the way. For many, many years, as internet retailing and e-commerce was introduced, essentially in the 1990s, mm-hmm. Every time this year the question asked would be, isn't internet retailing going to replace store retailing? And the answer for many, many, many years, and the answer in my view still today, is no, it will not. However, as long as those internet sales were less than 10% of total retail spending mm-hmm. in Canada, one could say that. but it would appear now that online purchasing of goods in some categories, like books and other obvious categories, are well above 10% and are now part of an accepted mainstream channel that consumers are using to purchase those goods.
Wow. Now, is there any way we can determine how many of those sales are driven to a local retailer, though? Because one of the things I notice that my wife likes to do and a number of other people like to do is they'll go online to buy a product, but then they'll have that product shipped to the local retailer so they can pick it up locally rather than having to wait in the mail. And is that something that retailers are experiencing? Because I know some of the larger boutique outlets, the ones that have multiple stores, you're able to do that. Places like Cotton Ginny, for instance, where you can go online and find a product that may not be available in your store, but you can order it online, they'll ship it to the store, and you'll just pay the retailer.
Yeah, and that's a really great question. And the question can be answered in different ways as the internet and as e-commerce continues to proliferate. So one of the questions was, what about the independent retailer with online?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can tell you with great certainty in talking to independent retailers across the country that those retailers that committed to providing e-commerce as an option for their consumers earlier in the game have seen their internet sales increase year after year after year.
Mm-hmm.
I can also tell you that retailers who are coming into it later in the game, but are doing so thoughtfully and with a good plan and with good partners, are showing or are experiencing increases in sales for their online segment of sales. So it clearly is an important and dominant channel that independent retailers can use to increase their sales and generate more awareness about their business and their brand.
Now, I'm curious, though. I mean, a lot of retailers in a small area like ours don't always have the same kinds of resources that others in maybe larger centers have. What are we seeing in terms of those kinds of retailers getting into e-commerce, and how easy is it for them to do this? Or because we don't see a lot of it, you know, in a place like Coburg.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, are there some thresholds that have to be crossed, or is there a critical mass that has to exist for a retailer before they can be successful in doing this? And is this something that we could expect, you know, in a place like our hometown?
Well, I think let's start with the last question first.
Okay.
I believe that consumers would expect merchants in any size community to be able to provide them with the goods and services that they want at the time they want and in the manner that they expect it. And with consumers becoming so much more aware of the products that exist in the marketplace and where they can find them and so forth, merchants in any size community need to be focused on how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to suggest that it's the same for every merchant, whether it be in a big urban center like Toronto or a smaller community like Coburg,
okay,
or Port Hope or whatever.
Okay.
But the merchant needs to be completely focused on what their customers need and what their customers are telling them, because their customers have so many different choices today.
So really what you're talking about, if I could paraphrase, is sort of a marriage between the two services, between direct face-to-face and direct sales. Being able to provide the same service you can in a retail setting, you know, with the merchant right there to offer, being able to provide the same service through sort of an online shopping experience.
Well, I mean, not for every merchant. So I don't think it's a silver bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And if you go back to a comment that I made earlier, there are many successful independents throughout the country that have done this,
mm-hmm,
but there are also many merchants that have been unsuccessful doing it.
Oh.
And the best example of that would be, again, partially answering one of the questions in the previous question. Today, it's much easier for an independent retailer to get online. It's much easier for a merchant to partner with major third-party e-commerce suppliers to set up a monthly contract where the third party will be able to offer the merchant the ability to accept secured online payments so they can ship goods to their to the consumer. However, if the merchant doesn't have a plan or a strategy that puts in place the need for e-commerce and complements their offer to their consumer, they may be spending a lot of time and a little bit of money to get online and then be surprised that they're not generating any sales.
But that goes to the comment you made a little while ago, too, about a thoughtful approach, right? It's obviously before before you build a house, you got to make sure you've got your footings poured, right?
Well, and it also, getting back to the other question, because it was such a great one and there are many elements to it, an independent retailer need not be discouraged that they're not online yet, because there's a term that was, a dirty word, if I can say it that way, in the retail, in the store retail community, was a term called showrooming. Showrooming is a term that was used when consumers would come into a retail store of any size or type and feel the merchandise and try it on and touch it and smell it and do whatever they're going to do, or look at some books in a bookstore, and then walk out of the store, go home, get online, and purchase the goods less expensively from an online retailer. That's called showrooming, and retailers, brick-and-mortar retailers, didn't like it too much. But guess what? We now have a term called webrooming, where the exact opposite is happening. And there's more web rooming occurring in today's, in 2016, than there is showrooming. And web rooming is when the consumer gets online and they research all their wants and needs online. Yeah. And they go into the retailer and they buy the goods in the brick-and-mortar store.
Right.
Well, that's interesting because I was going to ask you about that, especially when we talk about people, for example, in areas like ours, who go to larger centers to do the shopping. I mean, it's easy to get online and find out that, I can compare what, say, a furniture sales place here in town might sell a couch for, and then I can go and compare it to one in Peterborough, and one in Oshawa, and one in Toronto. And if I'm prepared to drive and it's not, there's a big enough difference, then it makes it sense to me to go off there and get the best price for the product that I want. How do you, in the retail industry, describe that kind of phenomenon? Is this what you were talking about?
Well, if I understand that you're saying, now you're bringing in another element to it, and that would be whether or not that consumer who is web rooming, as you described it, they're checking stuff out online, and then deciding whether they'll go to Oshawa or Toronto or Kingston or wherever to buy the product. That would be web rooming. If I can come back to the opportunities that could exist in Colberg, as it would in many other communities I've been to, is that if you as a merchant can satisfy the need in Colberg, then Colberg consumers won't drive. To me, it's fairly simple. I'm not saying it's easy to figure out how to do that. And I can also tell you that there are merchants in Canada who have a deliberate strategy to locate their stores in smaller communities and in rural communities because they believe those communities are actually being underserved or underserviced by the existing retail community.
Yes.
Well, that's really interesting. Because
That's something I would totally agree with and something that Rob was pointing out as well, because one of the things you can do when you're browsing online is you can get a price. So that's a great way to shop for the best deal if you want to have to go out of town. But one of the other advantages that I've learned locally, though, is that you can do your comparison shopping online, and bring that information to the local retailer who, in a lot of cases, will do what they can to try and get that sale, right?
Yes, being in the community with the right product at the right price when the consumer wants it. Here we are talking about all these remarkable changes and the speed with which change is occurring in the business. Yet from the consumer's perspective, the fundamental need hasn't changed for decades.
Exactly. Can I get it here? That's the question, right? Can I get it here, and can I get the best deal here?
Well, that makes a really good segue to something else that I wanted us to talk about, and that is the changing types of retail that exists. I mean, there was a phenomenon about 15, 20 years ago that we saw where the emergence of the big box store and then the emergence of power centers, and this came after the before that was the shopping mall. And now, you know, things are so much, it continues to change. And I was wondering if you could help us understand what's going on in retail now. You mean, you hear them talk about boutiques, and yet we still see big box stores being built. We still see power centers. We have our shopping mall here in Coburg that appears on the surface, at least. They're losing one of their major anchor stores. Sears is closing in March. And can you help us understand what are some of the dynamics that are going on around us that are influencing these things that we see?
Yeah, it is a very, very interesting and dynamic time. So you've identified many of the trends in sort of an ordered manner from the time the first mall was built in Canada, which folks claim either happened in the North Shore in West Vancouver and at Park Royal or in Toronto. But nonetheless, for half a century, we've had shopping centers. Mm-hmm. And I won't repeat the evolution that you described. What is interesting is in addition to the growth of those categories, and they're all existing today, and they're growing. We now have the discount, the hyper discount mall concept coming up from the States mm-hmm. and into Canada. It's a relatively new format, which is helping the Canadian economy to the extent that Canadian consumers are less rewarded by cross-border shopping into the U.S. because those products and the perception of a really great deal exists right here at home. And I would also say that one of the changes that the proliferation of new retail formats is having in Canada is merchants who might otherwise build a physical store are thinking very carefully about whether they'll build a physical store or whether they'll invest more in their online business. So that's perhaps one of the more fundamental changes that you would see in terms of how it might affect communities or how it might benefit or not benefit a community if a merchant decides not to build a physical location and create jobs and opportunity that come from that and taxes into the municipal tax roll, or whether they'll expand their business online.
All right, well, that's an interesting point. It's a great segue to our next break. We'll take a break. When we come back, more of our conversation with Mark Startup of the Retail Council of Canada. You're listening to The Drive Time, our weekly rendition of Consider This Live with Rob Washburn and myself. I'm Dave Glover. This is Canada's only holistic political chat.
I'm Pete Smith, inviting you to listen for The Dog Pause, Wednesdays at 2 on my show, Post Meridian. Send your questions to our three dog care experts, the trainer, the groomer, or the vet, and each week one of them will join me to answer your questions live on air. All you need to do is go to postmeridian897.ca and click on The Dog Pause and choose an expert. So listen for The Dog Pause, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on Post Meridian, right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Good girl.
Come out to Hometown Bingo on Saturday, November the 26th for our Christmas Cash Bingos. At 12:30 and 3:30, all regular games, $150 and $200. Second Chance Jackpot, $500. Dual Dab Game, two lines, $50. Full Card, $100. All Shutterboard Games, $50. Mini Players and Hometown Progressive, minimum consolation, $500. We are located at 884 Division Street, 905-372-5426, or visit us at hometownbingo.ca. Our license number is 7884.
Northumberland 89.7 is run by volunteers. If you like radio and want to learn more, come and volunteer with us.
And welcome back to the big broadcast. On the line with us is Mark Startup from the Retail Council of Canada. I'm Dave Glover. Rob, you had a question.
Yes, I did. I just wanted to follow up a bit more about shopping malls, because one of the things that we're seeing down here in our area has been sort of the decline of our own shopping mall and a lot of empty storefronts. And we've watched in Oshawa, there's been a month or two ago, a grand opening of the new Oshawa Centre. Hugely expanded, all kinds of boutique and brand stores. Lansdowne Place, not that long ago, it mm-hmm. relaunched itself and it's expanded. And again, a different kind of shopping experience. And our own mall here continues to struggle. And I'm wondering, what sort of trends are we seeing in shopping malls? And what sort of things can we expect from these kinds of retail experiences? Are we going to see transformations? Is a shopping mall in a small town of 20,000 people still a viable entity, you know?
Well, you know, based on my travels throughout the country, I would say yes, it is. That being said, local economies go through their own cycles, and mm-hmm. regional economies and provincial economies. I recall there was a period in the 90s where there was not a major mall redevelopment or new mall in Canada. There mm-hmm. was a period of time, a cycle in the market where the investment wasn't going there. We then see cycles where several new malls have come up, and several malls have had substantial renovations occur mm-hmm. because the owners have a vision for that mall that is based on modernizing the mall or extending it or adding a dimension to it or making it unique. So in our experience and the experience of our members, the mall certainly is not, the mall in and of itself is not dying. Mm-hmm. And I might add to that when you take a look at the various types and formats and sizes of retail companies, there seems to be a perception that the small mid-size or the independent retailer is losing ground significantly to the mass merchants or the big boxes or what have you. Mm-hmm. But when you dig into those numbers, you see that employment growth in all of those sizes and types and categories has been increasing in Canada for the past decade. So there clearly is opportunity here for growth.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that in terms of employment, because a recent report out from CIBC's economist Benjamin Tall and even the Bank of Canada Governor Stephen Pelosi remarking on the fact that 80% of the jobs created since the financial downturn have been in service sector jobs, not all retail service sector. We're talking about the insurance sector and areas like that. But really, the biggest growth sector has been in retail. And one of the things we do know from retail is people who work in retail tend to be paid at or slightly above minimum wage. How much of an impact do you think that's going to have, given the surge in the number of people who are employed in this sector and the fact that they're not the best paid people in the country, and yet that seems to be where the majority of jobs are coming from? How much of that do you think is having an impact on retail sales?
Well, I think actually I want to slay a bit of a dragon in the numbers there.
Oh, please do.
There certainly is at the front end or the entry level segment of the retail industry mm-hmm. where most people see the job, the sales associate in the store when you go in. Certainly, there are many starting level hourly rates that are at the minimum wage or above area. But when you take a look at the average, excluding the presidential positions or the executive or chief of something positions in the retail industry, the average hourly wage in the sector is somewhere in the $18.50 to $19 per hour range. So when you get beyond the entry-level position into supervisory and store management and so forth, the retail industry is carrying its weight. And I might also add that there is no larger employer sector in the country in the private sector, that is, than the retail industry.
Mm-hmm.
About 12% of private sector employment occurs in retail, and retail is about the fourth largest GDP contributor in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So it is indeed a very important industry, and thank goodness for the consumer that has been increasing their spending in the sector for the past several years.
In talking about customers, one of the things that I found when I was doing my research in preparation was this term bipolarization, and the contrast between people seeking bargains and then yet wanting high-end goods. I was wondering if you could explain a bit about that, because that really fascinated me, how the market, or at least customers, shoppers, are not just one or the other, but they're actually both.
Well, this conjures up the image of the customer driving their, I guess in the earlier days it would be their Beamer into the parking lot of a big box retailer. Perhaps now it's the Tesla or something
Sure.
like that. But I don't want to make light of it. Clearly, with the knowledge and the information available to the consumer in today's world,
mm-hmm.
and the desire for consumers to vote with their wallet when it comes to sustainable practices and sustainability and the impact on Earth of the goods that we consume, they can access goods seeking the best deal that they can find, and they expect that the goods are what the merchant claims they will be, and based on the price point or the value that the consumer is expecting.
Mm-hmm. But they can do their homework generally now. This is, I guess, one of the benefits is they can do their homework now to make sure that all of those boxes are checked before they either shop online or go to the local retailer, right?
More so than ever. And, mm-hmm. and our members tell us that often the consumer will come into the store to make the purchase and have more knowledge on the product and how it works than the sales associate might have.
Incredible. If we can go back a bit and talk some more about technology, some of the things that I read in sort of the scenarios of the future in terms of what we're going to be able to do with smartphone technology, mobile technology, and the interacting with retailers blew my mind. I mean, I've heard stories of people walking by a store in a mall or on the street, and suddenly you'll get a flash on your phone that'll say, hey, here's something that they know you've bought in the past and it's on sale. I've heard other stories of being able to go in and just, there isn't even a cash register. We just, here's the shoes, blah, blah, blah. Press a button, they're sold, and you're out the door. Can you take us, maybe open our minds to what you're seeing in the future or even now in terms of the bleeding edge of technology and retail?
Yes, there are so many different applications being introduced. Many of our members go to conferences in their category, whether it be giftware or fashion or sporting goods, and a technology provider will be delighting the audience with the application of a certain type of technology, much of it focused on the mobile, in the mobile space. Our smartphones are becoming a very, very central piece, not only to find the information we're looking for in a product or a service,
mm-hmm.
but as you pointed out, to actually attract the customer either into the online store or a physical store to make purchases. The technology is there, and it enables these things. But, I want to go back to what I was talking about earlier. Consumers are looking for, in many cases, exceptional experiences
mm-hmm.
when they go into a retail store. They're looking for a service experience that is inviting and authentic and realistic, and they want the product that they're looking for. And if they're not sure about the specific product they're looking for an experience in the store, mm-hmm. some of it which will be aided by technology. For example, is there Wi-Fi in the store? Many merchants are now realizing that they need to have Wi-Fi in their store to provide that above-average experience for their customer. But are they deploying simple, basic, old-fashioned sales and service attitudes or behaviors that simply make a customer feel welcome welcome in an inviting and friendly environment?
Well, and
technology in and of itself can't do that. Only people can do that.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that one. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about that. Because what I want to talk to you, if I can, about is the traditional downtown retail experience, the quaint small town retailers. And you know, we always hear in our small town, we've seen too many vacant stores. The downtown must be dying. You always hear the downtown is dying, and yet they manage to survive. And so I want to talk to you a bit about why you think that is. How can we encourage more of that growth? But I think the real message you've just hit nail on the head with is consumers are looking for that personal connection, that personal emotional experience. If the emotional experience is a negative emotional experience, they're not going to come back. But if they get that personal satisfaction, even if they don't have the product that you want, but they're able to be, you know, directed, well, we don't have it here, but I know they have it at this store, and I'll call ahead. And again, that helps to create that experience. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about that one. But again, we got to take that break. So
great.
More with our conversation with Mark Startup, the Retail Council of Canada, and Robert Washburn right here for our weekly rendition of Consider This Live. I'm Dave Glover. We will be right back.
Hey, Pete, have you time for a quick quiz?
Okay, Andrea.
True or false, your heart will beat 100,000 times a day.
False.
True or false, if you pull out a gray hair, tumor will grow back.
True.
True or false, you'll find out answers to questions like these and a whole lot more every Thursday at 2 p.m. on Living Happily Ever Active.
That's true.
And now you can contact me. Go to postmeridian897.ca and click on to Living Happily Ever Active.
Join us for Living Happily Ever Active Thursdays at 2 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7. Truly local radio.
You can wish it wasn't so, but winter will soon be at your door. Now is the perfect time to ensure your home comfort system is ready. If your furnace is more than 10 years old, it may be time to consider a new one. For a limited time, receive up to $1,500 in cash rebates with the purchase of a new comfort system from Pritchard's Climate Care. Call Pritchard's Climate Care at 905-885-8216 or visit pritchard-mechanical.com. At Pritchard's, we're not just your home climate care experts, we're your neighbors.
Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Northumberland897 and catch up on what's happening in and around Northumberland County.
And welcome back to the big broadcast. So, again, traditional downtown retail, can the quaint downtown retailer survive? And what's it going to take, Mark?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think it's a great topic. I'm a huge fan of the Business Improvement Association or the Business Improvement Area.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that there is an organization in Cobourg. And I know that and I believe in communities coming together to create campaigns and shop local programs, again, which I see is occurring in the community. In fact, studies have shown that when a local community bands together to do something special,
mm-hmm.
whether it be capital improvements or a campaign or a marketing initiative, that the sales lift for those that do that sort of thing is 2 to 3 points higher than communities that don't do that. And I'll go back in answering the question. I'll go back to what we were talking earlier about the mall. There will be some malls that will be less visited by consumers because it's the same old, same old. There hasn't been any changes or improvements, or it hasn't mm-hmm. had a facelift. And there's a bright, shiny mall in the community down the way that has those things. So if you combine the community coming together to drive something special and unique in the community, together with a commitment by the community to improve the physical environment of the community,
mm-hmm.
which is what I see is one of the major foundations of the Business Improvement Association movement, if you want to call it, which is around four decades old now in Canada and the U.S., then at least you've got some initiative or some energy going toward that, as opposed to saying, well, the traditional downtown core is dying or dead, mm-hmm. and therefore we shouldn't be investing in it.
Well, that's what we hear. I mean, you hear a lot of residents say, oh, well, you know, why are we spending so much money to improve the downtown? You know, if those businesses want to do better, they'll just do what they need to do. But I guess one of the things that I want to remind the listeners of, especially when it comes to shopping local, is these are the businesses that are driving the local economy. These are the ones who are paying, you know, a levy to be in the downtown. They pay, certainly they're paying higher than residential commercial tax base. This is your commercial tax base. You know, not every community has a manufacturer anymore. The factories are leaving. So, you know, if we don't support the vitalization or the revitalization of existing downtowns and to do what we can to help those businesses exist, whether it's downtown or the mall, you're going to ultimately bankrupt your local community, right?
Well, you know, and you raise a very good point. Merchants across Canada, based on our commercial property tax system, will pay anywhere from 2 to 5 times more than a residential property taxpayer based on the same $100 of value of their property.
Mm-hmm.
And merchants, look to the leaders in the community, merchants themselves being leaders in the community, to ensure that those dollars are being spent wisely and are being invested in the community. I would add to what you said earlier that while it's true that merchants are creating jobs in the community, most of them for the young people who are looking for their first job and their first experience,
mm-hmm.
a lot of part-time jobs are created by independent mid-size and large retailers. But on the other side of that, the merchants want to earn that loyalty and earn that respect from the community by providing exceptional experiences and the products and the goods that the community is looking for. So it's not enough just to say we're paying more, and it's not enough for the community to say, well, it's up to each individual business to invest in their own business.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a combination of the two. The community needs to get behind and support their downtown or their local community, and I can give you examples of other areas in the country, in some major urban centers and not, where it's not just the merchant community or the business community that's driving the success of the community. The taxpayer and the voter and the consumers are stepping up and working side by side with the business community,
mm-hmm.
to preserve, protect, grow, or improve their community, because it's a shared community.
Absolutely. Well, and it's sort of really, that's how communities got started, right? You know, you'd build a small hamlet, then someone would come in, they'd build the general store and so on and so on, and that's what would drive community growth. Mark, I want to thank you for taking the time today to speak to us. Hopefully we'll have you back another time to talk about it. And again, Rob Washburn, my co-pilot here for our weekly installments of Consider This. Mark, was there one thing that you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up?
Well, no. Dave, Rob, I thank you for the opportunity to talk retail. It's very important to us at Retail Council of Canada. We are the voice of retailers, of the retail industry coast to coast, and we just love talking about this great and important industry.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again, Mark. I'm Dave Glover. We're going to take you out with the Canadian Tenors and Huron Carroll on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. Mark, we will talk again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.